Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
This morning, on NPR's Morning Edition, journalist and author Cokie Roberts says that many establishment Democrats, and you got to remember that Cokie Roberts not only was a longtime commentator, reporter for ABC News, but
very respected.
Right. But she is the daughter of the former governor of the state. And I think it was a senator, too, right? Lindsey Boggs? Lindsey Boggs, her dad?
Definitely
the very, very famous political family from Louisiana. So she knows she's got a lot of contacts. She grew up in the culture of Washington, is married to a professor who spends a lot of time dealing with this in Washington, D.C. She's very wired in. And this is what she said. Of all the people on the planet Earth to say this, this is something. She says that Democrats may be getting antsy about Hillary Clinton's chances in November, as particularly they pertain to her health.
The fact that it comes now when the polls are tightening and Democrats were already saying that Hillary was the only candidate who could not beat Trump, and it's taking her off of the campaign trail, it has them very nervously beginning to whisper about having her step aside and finding another candidate.
It's strange because you can't imagine any scenario where that would be true. But the fact that she's saying it, I think, is why this has become such a story. We heard Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel talk about how he was surprised that this was even mentioned. But it's interesting, to say the least.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Well, and then, I mean, the fact is that Trump, and I don't know if Trump got lucky or they know things. They had consultants who were telling them things. There are some people that, you know, may have defected over from Clinton to Trump from the inner circle, or at least whispering. A lot of people do that in the political world because they figure they want to be with the winner, whomever it is. And so if a guy gets a little bit of traction, and Trump certainly is having a much better run than he was having at the end of July into August. He's now, it's sort of in the middle of August on, has had 3 successive weeks of gains in the polls. Although there were some statewide polls that came out this week that were not so good for him, that in the battleground states, and even states that shouldn't be battlegrounds are closer than they they appear to be, Arizona being one of them. So for Hillary Clinton, so it's going to be tight no matter how you plan it. But it's so tight, they figure with all the goofiness that Donald Trump has presented as a candidate, and the factor of dislike for him, even amongst his own supporters. I'm not talking about the deplorable ones.
Not that basket. Different basket.
Different basket. Mm-hmm. The disaffected. Everything has to have a D. That those people, they should be doing much better than she should be doing much better than she is, given all of that. And now here's the damnedest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, around the Clintons, there have always been a lot of conspiracy theories. Around all politicians, there have been. But Democrats tend to have more conspiracy theories around them than do Republicans, because the conspiracy types, and you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to mention his name. To
sort of like Creepy Uncle.
No, don't say it.
All right. We're not asking for him to come out of the basement and explain his views. We're just saying people like him. People like him.
Did I hear my name being mentioned? No, you didn't.
Oh, jeez.
No, you didn't.
Nope.
Oh, okay, then.
Oh. Yeah, I was looking for you.
Kevin,
sorry, I'm in your dream.
Why are you in his dream? Wait, oh my God, Kevin's in the basement with him. There's a pit in that basement, Kevin. Get out!
Kevin, you have your own basement.
We meet each other at the basement conventions each year. I've gotten to know him quite well. Great man, great man.
Anyway, there's a conspiracy theory out there that Hillary Clinton has a body double.
Did you see? I woke up and that was trending and I was like, this is a joke, right? And then all these people are saying, oh, wait a minute, there was no Secret Service protection within 20 feet of her and her earlobes are slightly smaller in these pictures. And they're like analyzing every piece of Hillary. I don't understand what's happening anymore.
Now, here's more of what Cokie has to say.
I'm sure it's an overreaction of an already skittish party. But, you know, they have looked at what happens in that circumstance. And the Democratic National Committee chair convenes the committee, and they vote. Now, ironically, the candidate that everybody looks at is Joe Biden, who, of course, is older than Hillary Clinton. But then again, so is Donald Trump. And by the way, we know nothing about his health. But there is enough unhappiness that this kind of sotto voce stuff is going on.
But Texas
sotto voce. You have to say things like that if you're Cokie Roberts.
And you're right, the daughter of a longtime Democratic congresswoman from Louisiana. So mm-hmm. A lot of Democratic royalty in some ways. She certainly is not the person you would expect to be saying things like that.
All right, let me let's go to this one because this one gets kind of interesting too.
Number four.
It always does. Donald Trump told his supporters that Hillary Clinton is laughing at them.
I was thus deeply shocked and alarmed this Friday to hear my opponent attack, slander, smear, demean these wonderful, amazing people who are supporting our campaign by the millions.
And he really took that opening, didn't he?
She gave him the opening.
Mm-hmm.
See, the issue here, though, is that I think the people in the middle here who are disaffected by both of these candidates and are looking for some miracle, some Hail Mary, because I do fear that Donald Trump is woefully underprepared for this mm-hmm. and not exactly of proper temperament. But then again, look at... Then again, Hillary's proving to be almost as scary to me at this moment. She was slightly less scary before. Now she's approaching. The temperature's rising on that. But and we know what she meant when she said it. I don't disagree, not half, but there's a number of people that have supported Donald Trump and that have given him the energy and that are going to come out to vote that wouldn't normally come out to vote because they fit into those categories that there's haters out there who just they would rather hate than love. People who are like that. You know people like that in your life.
Sure.
They're people that are just more angry and aggressive about things and they just have an emotional reaction to it. It's not always the right reaction, but it's the emotional reaction, and then they have to unclutter their emotional reaction. They have to dig themselves back out of the hole that they've created for themselves with that. And I just see that's the kind, and that's who she's referring to. And she said it in such an inartful and stupid way.
Right,
she opened herself up for this.
And it was a public event. I mean, or at least there are enough people there who reported what happened. Already the T-shirts are out at the Trump rallies that say, "I'm deplorable."
We met the T-shirt guys in Cleveland.
Right. Remember how quickly they turned those things around?
And I was talking to the guy. He goes, "We could turn it in within 24 hours. We can have whatever we want out."
And they did.
By the tens of thousands. They do very, very well with that. Very, very well. So true. Hold on, I said more.
Hillary Clinton made these comments at one of her high-dollar fundraisers on Wall Street. She and her wealthy donors all had a good laugh. You heard them. They were all laughing. Good, good, solid laugh. Hillary Clinton is an insider supported by powerful insiders attacking Americans who have absolutely no political power.
Now, that's true. He's identifying people who will self-identify as being out of the mainstream. They don't have any political power. They're not like the Wall Street insiders. She wasn't on Wall Street technically. But I think it's rich, as people say, mm-hmm. as my grandmother would say. When he talks about how rich everybody else is, you know, her wealthy donors. He was one of the wealthy donors.
To her.
So, I mean, it is just really funny. You know, the people seeking access.
And he's
trying
to paint,
be bought. Yes, you can.
He's trying to paint her people as being elites that look down on everyone else. I mean, this is...
That's a pro forma Republican presidential narrative of the last number of cycles. That's and it was hard for Mitt Romney to play that since he was the guy. Mm-hmm. He was the patrician standing up there.
But Trump already has ads out in swing states. Not just the T-shirts are out, but the ads are out in the swing states already. Building on this remark and how she's calling you names, people. And it's become part of the narrative. She stepped into it.
He is going to be, I'm telling you right now. I said it last week. I'm saying it now. September 12th. He's the next president of the United States.
Hold on. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today, chicagotribune.com.
We continue on with the top 5 at 5 right here on 720 WGN.
Number 3.
Mike Ditka, coach.
The coach.
Says the league has an obligation and responsibility when it comes to taking care of players who have experienced head injuries. He says it's time for the league to do the right thing. Did you see Ditka today? He looks real good. Mm-hmm. He was in here a couple of months ago. He had just grown his beard out.
Right. Remember those people kind of look like David Letterman-esque, you know, mm-hmm. post-retirement.
He and I became best friends that day.
Oh, he loves you. He loves you. He said you're, what did he call you?
Muscle man or something?
Yeah, muscle man.
We'll share a muscle milk from time to time.
Yeah. And my muscle man over here.
This guy's got no problems getting a date, this one. Yeah. This Kevin. I mean, look at him.
Ditka is one of my favorite humans on the planet Earth. There are times he is like out of his mind goofy, mm-hmm. but that's what I love about him.
But you still love him.
Yeah.
No matter what he says.
I'm out of my mind goofy too. I want people to love me. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. We love you too.
They're fewer and farther to find, but I'm telling you, I want him to love me anyway. All right, here's the point.
Let's get to it.
Okay. Ditka says that many times players aren't worried about long-term health risks. Then he said this.
I told somebody, and I don't mean to say this sarcastically, because my whole life with football, I love it. I love to watch it. I mean, I'm sitting there smoking a cigar, watching. I watched everything that was on yesterday. Missing. But somebody asked me, what about my grandkids? I said, I'd probably put a golf club in their hand. Now, I'm not that I wouldn't want them to understand the thrill I had of playing the game or the challenges I had of trying to play the game. But I'm just saying, for long-term effects, I'd put a golf club in their hand.
It's not the first time he said something like that about how he doesn't really, you know, he has serious considerations about concussions in the NFL, and he thinks the obligation falls on the league, putting it squarely on their shoulders to do something about it.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
It is.
Pretty crazy.
You're a guy like Ditka say that.
You know, and I was watching the game yesterday, and it's like, it's tough when you think about the long-term ramifications, some of this stuff. It is exciting as a fan, as a lifelong fan. I mm-hmm. love the sport.
God, I do too.
But you just cannot, the implication of like one of those hits where you just react to it mm-hmm. instinctively.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You feel it sometimes at home. You're like, oh, wow. Ow.
It's tough to watch sometimes.
Sport. Yeah. Yeah, but to hear Mike Ditka say that kind of thing, a tough guy, I think is pretty meaningful.
All right, checking in at
number 2.
23rd season of Dancing with the Stars starts tonight.
I can't wait.
Megatron.
Let's
be honest, everyone can't wait, okay? Right?
Some of the names you're going to be seeing in the ballroom include Mary Lou Henner. She won't forget a minute of it. Former Brady Bunch star Maureen McCormick, singer Kenny Babyface Edmonds, Vanilla Ice. He's my favorite because I have him in the pool. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Lochte. Ah.
Babe alert.
Ah. Says he's taking on a new challenge by competing on this show.
Yes, he is.
I am completely out of my element. And like she says, I'm vulnerable. And this is completely, it's a good thing. It's a challenge. And, you know, I think that's what we all like. We like challenges, especially me being an Olympic athlete. I like a challenge. So dancing is the biggest challenge.
Yes, it is.
Bro, what does vulnerable mean?
Did they tell you to say that?
No. It was like, they said to me, I felt like emotionally, I learned this like when I was trying to like be like, you know, with scamming chicks, that if you like you show your emotional like vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll show you their what is it?
Vulnerabilities.
No.
They'll show you how...
It's a shorter word. I can't remember. Anyway,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God.
The point is...
Oh.
The point is that it's like... I was like, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to rock this.
Bro, you're going to kill it.
Pow!
Pow, bro.
I say he's the third to be out after Rick Perry. And maybe more.
I have Rick Perry.
I don't think he's going far. I really don't.
It sounded like a condition when you said it. I have Rick Perry. Do you suffer from Rick Perry?
I mean, I was excited. I mean, I've seen her, Lori, at the Olympics and everything. So we've crossed paths. And, you know, it's a good opportunity of doing being an Olympian and doing something completely different. So, you know, this will be fun.
He'll be fun. Look at him. He's like, I mean, he's even dumber than how I do it. It's worse. It can't be worse. It's like, how can he be? How can a human being be so stupid and be able to feed himself?
Unbelievable.
He's doing something right.
Yes, he is. Fun. A lot of medals.
It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
A big accomplishment.
The tall girl says it's cool. Hey, baby girl.
What's up?
I'm a win, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't think so.
God.
Probably you're going to win.
I forgot.
Number one.
For many years, Paul Green served as the go-to guy for anyone looking to explain or understand the nuances of politics in Chicago and beyond. Paul Green died suddenly over the weekend from an aneurysm. He was 73 years old. He inspired tributes from many people and institutions influenced by him over many years. Mayor Emanuel.
I had a personal relationship with Paul because in the mornings when we worked out together, I got there a little earlier than Paul got. He would steal my paper when I put it up to do some other part of my exercise. I always had to go back and say, you know, I think Roosevelt University can actually afford your own subscription. You don't have to borrow mine. But anybody that knew Paul was touched by him. It will be a loss for our city. And as I said to his wonderful wife yesterday, thank you for sharing him with all of us. And we are a better city because Paul called Chicago home.
Today on the Steve Cochran Show, they played a touching tribute to this WGN legend, and it deserves another listen.
You don't spend that kind of money to get elected to an office and just simply say, I'm just here to do the right thing for 4 years. One thing about being an elected politician, you really like to be reelected. Not about all these extraneous things, and it's certainly not about personality. People depend on government, those who work in it, and those who receive the services. So it should be about numbers.
First of all, let me say that my views may be somewhat clouded since I just came back from the polar plunging with Lady Gaga, so I demand a little more respect than I normally get. And if you want to know where one of her tattoos are, I am there to tell you. But don't ask. It's madness.
Paul Green was 73 years old.
The top five at five.